Welcome to Alien Agenda. This is your host, Tony Tiura, out of Sapporo. And today we have a couple really cool guests online. We have Backpack in Japan. He goes by the name Backpack. Backpack, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
And I have my co-host, Ron Watkins. Ron, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
And we have the coolest dude in the world, Hayes Robinson out of San Diego, the lead singer for the rock and roll band Electromagnetic. Hayes, thanks for joining again.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be here. You don't have to lie to everybody about me, though.
Well, you were late, so I had to.
It's not necessary.
I said some mean things earlier, so I just wanted to say something nice.
You're making up.
So you're having fun with race cars, you said, huh, Hayes?
Man, crazy day, all day, burning hot, 105 degrees, I think, today in Arizona at Radford Racing. It was a package that I got offered. I had 1 month to use it for purchasing a brand new Challenger. And it included a day of racing, and I couldn't pass it up. So I drove all the way out here, a little over 300 miles, and then strapped in. And, man, what a day. Everybody needs to experience.
I want to live your life, Hayes. The rock and roll lead singer hangs out with racing cars and pretty women and all this other fun stuff. Jeez, but it's 105 degrees. So other than that, I think it sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, Backpack, thank you for joining. And, can you go over how you got the name Backpack and what's your like social media presence and what are you up to these days?
Certainly. I started a website in 2017 called Disclosure Backpack. And the purpose was I had started researching about advanced technology and ETs and things around 2013. And I was looking for a way to spread awareness. So I created this website and it was semi-anonymous. And I used Disclosure Backpack as my Twitter handle. And I've been doing that for several years now.
And how's the Facebook situation going?
Yeah. And I originally was on Facebook. There was a lot more people in the disclosure field on Facebook. And but then kind of unexpectedly on Christmas morning of, I think it was 2017, actually, it was gone. My Facebook page was deleted and I didn't have a warning. I didn't know what happened.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Yeah. It wasn't so good.
Right.
Yeah.
Not so merry.
Well, how can you get information, important information out, like disclosure, like propulsion or whatever documents, if they're going to get rid of the communication channels, why the heck would they shut you off of Facebook just because you're putting documents out? I mean, a lot of people are going to say, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. There is no alien, propulsion documents. And, what was the reason that Facebook gave you?
I didn't have any reason at all. There was no notification. I don't know. I know that I would kind of spar a little bit with some accounts that were saying that UFOs weren't real or that pushing certain, even within ufology, there's certain factions, And I honestly don't know what happened.
Well,
angered one group or not. I don't know.
There's a thing called the marketplace of ideas where you just put all your ideas out there and then people will look at everything and weigh what they think is the correct one. And then they'll go with the correct one. But the way Facebook operates is they delete the people that they don't like, which really limits the marketplace of ideas and actually hampers free speech across the world, essentially, because they are in control of a lot of the worldwide communication channels.
Well, marketplace of ideas sounds like freedom to me. I mean, freedom of speech, right? As long as you're not saying fire in a movie theater, you should be able to almost speak your mind. And if you can't have freedom of speech, you can't have freedom of thought. And so I guess they're trying to limit people's thought, limits people's freedom because they want their narrative or their political agenda or their military industrial security political agenda to be pushed through. That's just horrible. We live in Big Brother City, like Orwell's Big Brother. So Backpack, what were you putting online? Like, what kind of documents? I'm just curious.
Well, I wasn't sharing documents so much as finding information from other people, like the author, Dr. Michael Sala, who does a lot of research on UFOs. And I was putting out, just trying to boost the information and write articles, report on it. Also, a couple years ago, there were some unusual Peruvian mummies.
Right.
The Nazca mummies.
Yes, the Nazca mummies. Absolutely.
And it was promoted a lot in mainstream media and also on the Gaia channel.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing on Gaia, yep.
And I was looking at the x-rays and things independently and finding information that nobody else was talking about, just the structure of the skeleton, the differences, the asymmetrical differences, and how some were obviously not biological. They were pieced together just based on the forearms, the anatomy.
Well, why do you think that information was being memory holed?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was something that no one else was talking about specifically. It was shared a lot. My site isn't there anymore, but other people had reposted it and shared it, so it's still around.
Well,
Backpack, what was it about the forearms? Because I'm aware of the cranial, the skulls, and mm-hmm. their elongated skulls, and how people try and say it's like some certain African tribes do cranial binding at a young age to shape the skull to look like the gods, that they're historical gods. But what was it about the forearm that you noticed in the x-rays and stuff?
So they were talking about actually a couple different mummies. One was a larger one, like a human size, and they named that Maria. And that had the elongated skull. And I think it also had six fingers or three, yes, was it, right? Or three fingers mm-hmm. on each side or something unusual like that.
Yes, it was very unusual.
Yeah. That skeleton, actually looking at it through the x-rays and looking at it, there is nothing that looked fake about that at all. There was nothing that looked pieced together. It looked real. But at the same time, they also were presenting these smaller ones that were maybe a foot long. And those particular skeletons, the forearms didn't have two bones. They only had one bone. And the Gaia channel had a doctor on the show who was saying that it's a reptilian trait. And actually, I looked up different reptiles, like many, many reptile skeletons, and they all have the same two bones in the forearm, or the equivalent of the forearm in the leg. It's
without the two bones, you can't rotate your hand.
That's right. Exactly.
Or your foot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just talked about all of those things in the articles. And yeah, just based on that. And also, it was obvious that actually they had broken some of the bones. It was like they only had half a bone in the upper arm. Someone put it together. It wasn't real. And there's
so your conclusion on all of that is that it wasn't real.
The smaller ones were pieced together. The larger one, I don't have an explanation for other than it's real. I mean, there's nothing artificial looking about it at all that I could find.
So basically your conclusion would be that these mummies or these bodies, these skeletons or whatever, are not human and possibly of alien nature. Would that be a reasonable conclusion?
For the large one, definitely.
Okay.
The smaller ones, I also looked at the skulls. It seems like someone had actually carved in two round eye holes and one round mouth hole. There was actually no jaw. It was a skull that was carved. But
so do you think the smaller ones were made to like discredit the larger one?
That's what I thought. Yes, I did. And actually some bigger names in ufology. Someone who owns the Black Vault. Do you guys know there's a main website?
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but didn't he do a bunch of FOIAs over like 20 years?
Yes, yes. He's really, really respected. And he did an article about it around the same time I did. And he was saying that they were all fake. And he said that it was plaster of Paris around the outside of the bodies. And that wasn't true. They did an analysis. It wasn't plaster of Paris. It was like, what is it? It's a white powder that comes from old, like sea life, like coral type sea life. I forgot what it's called. It's in my
report. Gypsum or gypsite?
Well, gypsum, the mineral, it's similar, but it's different. But anyway, it was a natural material.
Dolomite?
Could be. I thought it, it could be.
And the guy was John, the owner is John Greenwald.
Ah, thank you, John Greenwald. Thank you. So yeah. He, you know, I was posting this stuff and Greenwald actually came and started kind of attacking my information.
Really?
And he was trying to discredit me, like very, very vocally going after me. And he didn't have data. He was just saying, you're someone that doesn't know what you're talking about. I've been in this for a very long time. And, but his, you know, the things he was saying.
See, that's where we get into like people using their clout.
Yeah.
To try to disprove logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you had like logic and facts on your side, it doesn't matter because he has credibility, right?
That's well, right. Yeah.
That's because people don't understand like logic and reasoning and like arguments. You know, they don't understand the concept of a straw man. You know, attack the person, but don't attack his logic. And people fall for this. They fall for it all the time. That's why people should be educated on like on clear thinking and how to clearly argument your case or not argument. You know, or say somebody's case is false, but to say just because this person is bald or whatever, therefore he doesn't know anything, you know, about UFOs or whatever. I mean, these are just, you know, or somebody's fat or this or that, or, you know, you don't have a PhD. That's why you're wrong, because he has a PhD or whatever. It's a bunch of bullshit. Right.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's why, like, the stuff I do is quite effective. Like, I go out of my way to kill my credibility on purpose.
Well, you're logical, though.
So then people can really just focus on the logic of my arguments without needing to attack me as a person. Because I've already attacked myself.
Well, speaking of that, I love your last video, Ron. One with I got the copy. I wasn't sure which was the original. I got the copy where they said starring Ron Watkins, and then they wrote in Japanese. They wrote in Japanese. Did you read? You can read Japanese, right? It said, I was looking at this thing. I'm like, oh, this nice, cool characters. They wrote Ron Watkins, and I'm like, what? Fuck you, Ron Watkins in Japanese. I was just like, and then they have you at some like weird military music. They changed everything. I laughed my butt off.
Yeah,
it must have been the cowboy hat.
Yeah. Well, people are just having fun with it. It's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't put out material like that if I was being 100% serious by myself. So
which got more views? The one that they made up, they mocked up with you starring in some like weird military action movie, or
no, I think that only got a couple hundred, maybe 1,000.
Oh, really?
But the video I put out got 500,000 views in like a day.
Half a million
across,
views?
That's across different platforms, though, because I didn't even put it on YouTube. I put it on Telegram, and like all the different Telegram channels were sharing it, and it was being shared on Twitter, and I think eventually someone might have gotten it to YouTube, and journalists and stuff are talking about it.
Someone sent me an email and they said, is Ron Watkins an alien?
Yeah. There are a lot of comments like that. But yeah, I mean, I was going for a certain aesthetic on that video, and yeah, I think I think I got it. Yeah.
No, it's a great video. I just, you know, the other one made me laugh my butt off. I know
we got off.
You got to watch that. If you haven't watched that video, Hayes, you got to watch that. You got to watch from Twitter. Did you watch the one from Twitter that says starring Ron Watkins?
I'm not on Twitter. I've never signed up to any social media in my life. My wife only signed me up. And then,
well, tell your wife to sign you up to Twitter.
I say the things I say. Like, well, you know me. Why would you sign me up to this if you know that? The person I am, of course I'm going to say that, especially if somebody sets me up and I'm like, well, of course that's going to be my logical response. I mean, sure, it's going to offend somebody. I don't care.
Okay. So let's get back. So getting back to this information. So it's clear. I mean, you sound like a logical guy that you had information, but like to attack you like that, and then worse, to shut you off Facebook. It sounds like Facebook's got some. Do you actually think? Does anybody here on this team here think that Facebook has like don't know, some CIA agent or agents or some department that says, hey, this doesn't fit our narrative. We don't want people to know about, you know, aliens. So anything about aliens, we got to discredit. Is there like an alien discredit agency out there or something?
Hey, man, as far as I'm concerned, as soon as the federal government took Bill Gates and Mr. Facebook to court, and if you ever watched any of those videos and the looks on their faces and the questions and the way that they responded, they've been playing ball with the government ever since then. They were taken there to federal court for a good reason. Because they knew how strong and how much power they had with their platforms. And
of Facebook, though, it was a DARPA project originally.
Oh boy, that sounds great. That means, yeah.
Oh. And then
life something, right? Life book or
something. Life book or something like that. And then they changed it. The DARPA project was canceled, and then the next day Facebook started.
Well, it's great.
Something like that. I don't know the history, but it was something along those lines.
It's great for overthrowing countries, right? I think we used Facebook to overthrow countries, and then they didn't like it that, you know, politicians in the U.S. were using it. So then, you know, I think it's weaponized. I think Facebook now is weaponized. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the fact that they banned Trump's voice on it is insane. Weaponizing the platform.
Isn't that insane? You silence a sitting president?
Yeah. And anybody that
the obvious opposition that owns all of, you know, 80% to 90% of the media.
Yeah.
You don't question that? It's crazy.
Well, we're not allowed to question it, is the thing. If you question it, you get banned.
It's even more insane, which even proves our point even more, but people just don't want to acknowledge it.
But the smart people don't stay on Facebook.
True. What are you trying to say, man? Okay, don't worry. Once they ban me again, Ron, I won't sign back up.
Well, you didn't sign up. Your wife keeps signing you up.
Your wife.
Gab, I know. No, she won't. Gab will be the first one that I sign up to.
Okay, guys, I want to move on to another topic that's big in the news. It has to do with the unidentified aerial phenomena, you know, report that they were supposed to come out with. They came out with it. Personally speaking, I'm not impressed. I consider it like the unidentified asshole project because I think you have to be an asshole to believe the bullshit that they're putting out. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You know, I mean, it's just my personal opinion. I'd like to hear what you guys think. And I know Backpack, you know, you've had a website you mentioned earlier, you know, on propulsion, and you study this kind of stuff and you repost things and you analyze things, you know, related to sounds like you're an analytical kind of guy. Did you get a chance to read that report?
I did. And it looked like they were just saying they didn't have enough info to say anything about anything. You know, they said, we don't have evidence it's from China or Russia, but it seems like they didn't have enough. They couldn't gather enough evidence about anything.
Do you believe that?
Well, it read to me like they're begging for money. They're like, yeah, we can do a report about this, but we don't have enough money to have like a good reporting system. So please give us money and then we can do it.
They don't have enough money. Does anybody have any idea how much money the U.S. government spends on hidden projects? And I mean, like U.S. spends like 10 times all the other countries combined. I mean, where does this end?
Yeah, well, but think about it. The person writing the report, they probably chose the person with like limited access to that knowledge to write it.
Of course. That's why I call
that's what I was thinking. I know there's other people that have more info, and they chose the people without info to say, we don't have info.
Yeah, it's like when Facebook gets subpoenaed by the Senate committee or whatever, and then they send their diversity officer to answer questions about the company.
I mean, what an absolute. I mean, look, I can't believe that people that's why I call it the asshole project. You know, you have to be an asshole to believe this bullshit. I mean, how is it even possible? Like, let's think about, I want to go over like just two things that shoot like holes through this thing. You know, if you think about the Roswell stuff, I mean, you guys are both familiar with Roswell, right? What happened in 1947? Does anybody who's like researched this thing actually believe that their initial report that it was weather balloons. And then later on, they're saying they're dropping crash test dummies, and that's why people saw bodies. I mean, there's so many deathbed reports, so much analysis, the MJ-12 documents. I mean, you know, if anybody who does any really serious scientific, and I mean scientific investigation, looking at evidence, I mean, the only conclusion you can come to is that there was a UFO that crashed, you know, at Roswell, and bodies were retrieved, right? I mean, does anybody on this line, I mean, think that I'm wrong? I mean, we're all kind of studying this. What do you think, Backpack, I mean, about Roswell?
Well, I think it's a cliche now, you know, the government cover up. It's so much so that even now when they say, oh, we have information about UAPs, not UFOs, that no, everyone's like, yeah, we know. You've been covering up forever. You know, it's nothing's trustworthy.
And I think it goes on to like another one that I've been studying for the years, right? You know, Ron, you know, with Alien Leaks is going to start putting out like information, like we talked about it earlier, you know, related to gravity shielding and gravity and whatnot, things that have been memory hold. And I don't know if he's holding back, you know, and stuff that's not memory hold, but, you know, if you look at Bob Lazar, right, that other situation where that, you know, engineer, you know, or I think he had a master's degree in material science or something, you know, who worked at Los Alamos and were, you know, and I think he's maybe a master's in physics. He worked on, you know, the propulsion of these nine craft. He got one, which was a sport model, he said that he worked on. He talks about element 115 and all that stuff. I mean, I think that's also pretty rock solid. What do you guys think about Bob Lazar?
Well, I just wanted to interject a comment here that the control of language is very important. So they were calling it UFOs for a long time, and now it's called like UAPs. So yeah. By changing the way the acronym, they're actually controlling the language and how people view these things. And if you're going to go into Bob Lazar, they might as well just start calling these things like ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and they started, I was paying attention to older interviews with Hillary Clinton and John Podesta around 2015. And they started, you know, they went on some comedy shows and started joking that the new word is UAP, not UFO. And I was sure then that what they were trying to do is give a new word so people don't associate what they're trying to disclose with what they've been telling everyone to ridicule, which is UFOs.
Absolutely. And as an author, you know, and a writer, you know, words are critical. It's how you think. And it's perfect George Orwell. You know, you change the word, you know, I mean, you change the history. So what the hell is an unidentified aerial phenomena, right? It's an unidentified something that's flying in the air. What's an unidentified flying object? It's the same damn thing. And a lot of people like they don't like the UAP. Me neither. Like what UAP? What the heck did that mean? By the way, that's why I call it the Unidentified Asshole Project. You know, they think we're assholes to change the words. So they're basically UFOs, and they don't want to admit that they've been doing this for years. So going down the rabbit hole, you know, where I'm thinking is just. I always wonder, like, why did they have to lie so bad about this, right? We know Roswell happened. We know Bob Lazar worked on these things. I mean, to me, if you look at all the evidence, it's just there. They've been lying about those two things. So if you go down that rabbit hole, you say, okay, they already got craft. And then in the 70s or whatever, they got like nine pristine, you know, aircraft from the aliens. Now, I mean, like, aliens just didn't come down and said, oh, here's a present, guys, and, you know, and give them. There had to be something going on. So I think what's really going on is a bunch of lying. They don't want to tell the public how deep they're in bed, you know, with these aliens or what trouble they've gotten themselves into by dealing with these aliens. You know, what is it that they asked for in return for these nine pristine craft that they just gave to our genius scientists and said, hey, here's, you know, like I said this previously, like taking an iPhone, the Native Americans or whatever, you know, you go to a place and like, you know, the Aborigines and you give them like iPhones because they want iPhones, you know, like what the hell are they going to do with iPhones, right? How are they going to figure out the technology? I mean, so don't get me wrong. I think humanity can probably figure it out. Sounds like this guy, Dr. Potlatnov, that Ron was talking about, you know, has some insight, and there are others that have insight into this. So, where I wanted to ask you guys is, Do you think there's something evil behind all this? Like, why they're not telling people? You know, nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to talk about aliens. No one's talk about these deals. But you know, John Lear mentioned it. He knows Bob Lazar. He thinks there's a deal with the aliens. It isn't a very good deal. Do you guys want to jump down that rabbit hole? I mean, what's your thoughts?
I think that even without, I mean, I'm sure that there's technology that comes from outside the Earth, but even technology that's discovered here, like I learned about Dr. Podkletnov's discovery. It was an accident. He was working with superconductors. He had a large one that they're working on, which is unusual because they're hard to manufacture. And someone's smoke went over it, like a cigar smoke or pipe smoke. And they noticed that it stopped right over and moved up. So even technology that's discovered by humans gets suppressed because it seems like anything that people get, they want to make sure they use it for control rather than freeing people.
Well, here's a bit more about Dr. Podkletnov that not many people know is that he was like a material science guy. He's the one that was like inventing the methods to make those, like I believe the wafers from for the superconductors. And after he discovered that the superconductor he was working on had like was able to diminish some of the effects of gravity, he was asked by NASA to make that for NASA. And so he made it for NASA, and then NASA was like, wow, great, let's start using it next week. But then right before they were going to start using it, they're like, oh, but actually, we ran out of money, so you're fired. And yeah. So he left the project. And what they did was they gave all of, I mean, the Department of Defense came in and took all of his stuff and then gave it to a theoretical scientist named, I believe it's Li Ning. Dr. Li Ning, a Chinese yeah. Scientist. And... then she got like a $500,000 grant from the U.S. government and then took the money and disappeared.
Yeah, and her business is still in operation because it's private. Nothing's been released about what they found. It's called.
Yeah, so we've got like a top Chinese scientist who took this material science research from one of the top, like I believe Podkletnov is a Russian scientist.
He is.
And that was built for American scientists at NASA. And then they covered it all up. So is it possible that this type of technology is some kind of joint project between Russia, China, and America?
I mean, wow. Yeah. I mean, you connect those dots, Ron. Holy smokes. You know, it's amazing because, you know, on the surface, it looks like, you know, China, United States, and Russia are all at each other's throats, you know, politically and geopolitically and all this other stuff. But maybe they feel they have a common threat, you know, your enemy's enemy is your enemy. Maybe they feel that, like, you know, the problem's going to be, though, is this technology, any of this technology has massive military implications, right? So maybe they're worried about an alien threat that maybe they helped create. But then they got the technology they can use, you know, for war, you know. I mean, I don't think the spirituality of human race is very good. I don't think this is going to end well anytime soon. I think this is a massive cover-up, massive lie. And I think the rabbit hole, you know, I don't think the government feels that they can explain what really went on without losing their jobs. you know that the government will, like, these people will get, like, you know, kicked out of power, and they probably feel maybe religiously. I heard somewhere that they were worried to continue some of these programs with these supposed aliens because people who were really, like, super religious felt that they were dealing with, like, evil entities and stuff like that. And, you know, who knows where this goes, but it's very disruptive, that's for sure. It's very, very interesting. So so the report we all agree is kind of bullshit, right?
There's nothing much there.
Yeah, the report is just like, what, 9 pages of, we don't have enough money.
Yeah, what did we expect, right? What did we expect? Give us more money and we'll give you more bullshit.
Well, the report they asked about UAPs, right? So please give us a report on those unidentified things that you don't know anything about. they should have said, please give us a report on the ARVs, the alien reproduction vehicles.
So that's really fascinating to me what Lazar said, that, you know, he got, and there's movies and there's evidence. And anybody listening to the show, like maybe for the first time, they're going to say, this sounds like a crock of bullshit. And you know what I say to those people? Congratulations, you have a brain. You know, you should always, you know, question anything. But to just discredit something without doing any research, my next statement would be, okay, you have a brain, now start using it. Start looking around. Start doing the research. Do what I've done, you know, over, oh my God, I hate to say how many years I've been, you know, since I was a kid, you know, 12 years, 13 years old, I've been reading about this stuff just as kind of a hobby. And to me, you know, it's completely, you know, clear that Bob Lazar worked on these craft. So then you have to say, okay, I believe he said that, you know, where'd they come from, right? I mean, I heard that they supposedly were given to by us by aliens. So that means we're dealing with aliens. God, what, you know, why if we've been lying all these years, right? Why do you think they even did this report? What was the reason? How come this report came out? Is this just because Trump got pissed off and said, put a report? I mean, what was the reason for it? Anybody know where this report came from? Why it even was done?
Oh, sorry. I think that it goes back earlier than Trump. Like you mentioned Senator Harry Reid. And in the 90s, Lawrence Rockefeller got a bunch of people together, including Stephen Greer and the Clintons and Podesta. And they all wanted to disclose this information. And even now, these patents that I'm looking at, Dr. Eugene Podkletnov and the other one, Salvador Pais, who actually has similar technology, they all cite Hal Puthoff, who he came up with a theory, like a quantum theory. Right. And he's part of TTSA, the To the Stars Academy, right? With who's that? Tom DeLong.
Right.
And then in WikiLeaks, we have the Tom DeLong and Podesta talking together about how they'll promote this information so young people will be ready for it when it comes out. So I think it's got really like some kind of deep political maybe motivation, but I'm not sure if it's from a particular party or I don't understand it, actually.
Well, when I years ago, you know, as I'm an electrical engineer, and, you know, when you're an engineer, you're like, oh, I'm going to build all these circuits and build toys. And, you know, that's kind of what I did when I got out of school. I was build radio control toys and stuff like that. But most of my friends, we were all worried that we were all going to get sold out to the military. And it actually happens in college. We didn't realize it. But when I was at Rutgers University, undergraduate, studying science, you know, some of the best engineers, maybe some of the worst ones, because I was on some of these projects, you know, they hire the engineers and they give you money. You know, and they're like, hey, work on this, you know, and you're in college. I'm like, oh, well, this is pretty cool. We got all these cool toys to play with. But what most engineers don't realize is that the biggest hiring industry is the military industrial complex. You know, most people, you know, the great jobs are like with companies. If you think, oh, I'm going to work with AT&T on phone systems or whatever. No, they end up throwing you on military projects. You know, in Japan, AT&T actually, you know, owns the internet. I don't think they still do in like Yokosuka base and stuff like that. And most jobs with engineers are working on, you know, on military projects. So like, if you're, you know, I don't, well, I probably should be careful what I say about.
You should be careful before.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what I was going to say, and maybe I won't say this, but I'll change this a little bit. So what happens is, I think, is that because of compartmentalization, right? You guys are all familiar with that.
Yeah.
What happens is, as Bob Lazar, you only, and this is not, you know, like confidential information. I mean, compartmentalization has been is discussed all over the place. You only work on once. Most people usually only work on one small part of the big picture. They don't want the person to know how to put the puzzle together, right? So there are people who do know the whole puzzle. What I'm thinking is that, like, even in our society, like the president and Congress and the Senate and all those folks and the Supreme
Court. Yeah, they don't know.
They have no fucking clue.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if they don't have a clue, you get somebody in there like, hey, I heard that, you know, there was some UFOs were doing some in their study, started asking questions. You know, like Senator, who was the senator that was really big into this? Rubio, right? I think he's in charge of the Senate Intelligence. I'm not sure if he was or who is, but he started digging into this, and they want the information. Do you guys think that they actually get all the information?
No, definitely not. There's probably classification levels like higher than the currently known levels.
Okay. Yeah. So if they're not getting the information, then they're like someone like Trump. Do you think Trump had all the information?
No, I don't think so.
Well, especially
that's hard to say, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think if he knew, he would talk more about it. But it might just be so bad that he just doesn't talk about it.
I would think he might know more about it just from being kind of a successful businessman and having connections, personal connections with people, than as a president. Because I remember even, who was it? I think Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid, again, into UFOs, he was saying, give an FBI briefing to Trump, but don't tell him all the information or something. I don't think he got as much information through the government as through personal connections.
So, okay. So we're trying to connect these dots. So politicians get a little skim of information and they want more information. They ask for it. And then, you know, they probably, their classified meeting was obviously, I think, quite different than the one that was posted, you know, about the unidentified aerial phenomena report, that 180-day report. Would you guys agree? You don't think that the senators and these guys got that same report, right?
Well, this one's a preliminary report, isn't it?
Yeah, it said so. But it's the 180 days, right? So when's the real report? Is it? I think they use the word preliminary once again to get everybody to think, oh, this is just nice. This is just a rough summary of where they're going. But wait a second. Weren't they supposed to give this report in 180 days? Isn't this the deadline? I mean, I think it is. I don't think there's any other report coming out. I think this preliminary report is just the name.
Is that all the public's going to see then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And there isn't much more that they can tell us. They probably put the guy with the access to the least amount of information in charge of writing it.
Yeah.
So I don't expect anything else from official government channels.
Well, this is why I think alien leaks, Ron, the stuff that you're working on, and I'm trying to help you with here a little bit with some of these discussions and the videos that I'm putting together, because you and I are both of the same mindset. I don't think disclosure is ever going to come from the government willingly. You know what I mean? I just don't think it's going to be willing. I think it's just going to be one day, you know, something explosive, and I don't mean that in a violent way, but, you know, is going to happen where, you know, there's just going to be indisputable evidence where somebody's going to make an anti-grav, you know, or time warping or, you know, space warping machine that's going to travel, and they're going to be like, oh, wow, I found these aliens, you know, and they're going to take videos and they're going to bring them back. You know, I mean, I just don't think it's going to come from the government. You guys think that you'll see in your lifetime a true disclosure from the U.S. government? What do you think, Backpack?
I think that whatever information gets released from the government, unless there's a huge overhaul, unless it's not like the government we have now, any information that does come out will be for the purpose of keeping control. I don't think they'd release everything. Even this Dr. Podkletnov says, you know, his technology that existed, I saw an interview from 2004, the technology that existed then increased better transportation, less emissions, can completely change our whole society, but it's being suppressed. So I don't think the full picture will ever come out unless it's a positive government. And I don't know if that exists.
You mentioned that earlier. You talked about, you know, that gentleman who's interviewed and who said that, what was his name? He was on that another podcast who said that we have the technology now for getting
water. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's General Quast,
right?
Who's still with the Air Force. And there's a lot of people, and I know someone that's worked in those kind of programs, and they don't say anything. So if anyone's listening, don't worry. But they've worked in those programs, and I know they know more information than the senators do, or that's in this report.
Well,
you know,
once again, it shows the low spirituality of humanity that we as a species, right, have, you know, billions of people and probably billions that have, you know, problems with like food, water, clean air and things like that, and you know, energy needs, and we're destroying the planet with fossil fuels. But yet we have these technologies and the governments are going to suppress them because, you know, if either they want to keep more control or that they're afraid that others are going to use it for weapons or something and they're going to lose their advantage. You know, if you say, oh, we got some really cool, you know, anti-gravity shields and we can have rather the trains just working on magnetic fields, we can just reduce the gravity and put the magnetic fields, you know, and things to make it so, you know, when you're going up a hill, you know, you don't have to fight the force of gravity. And there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, obvious, you know, scientific things that, you know, that you could engineer to create products to make life live a much cleaner, safer, and healthier. But we just don't do it because, you know, you could just use a simple word that we're acting very evil. And I think that's the biggest sin of the whole thing. I think that anybody who works in these programs and knows about these programs should sit and look at the mirror and say, am I making humanity better or am I making it worse? And I know everybody needs a paycheck, but I think if people just like quit jobs that make humanity worse or try to fight to make humanity better, I think those are the people that in the history books will have some meaning. You know, I think if you make a weapon, you know, that destroys people, you know, I don't know, the whole controlling that goes on. Maybe I'm just being really negative, but that report was really a downer for me. So that's why I think Alien Leaks is going to be big. So Ron, on Alien Leaks, I think you're going to be the real disclosure site. Is that what's your goal for that? Is that kind of your goal?
So with Alien Leaks, the goal is like to get out and figure out like what is going on that they're not telling us. So whether or not that's extraterrestrials or just human created alien technology, like alien to our understanding, it's yet to be seen, because there are a bunch of documents that I'm holding back on, but I don't know if people have the understanding yet to fully appreciate that information. So I'm building up to it. Step by step, we're putting out more and more documents that like build this base of knowledge that will eventually crescendo into the full-on disclosure, hopefully, of aliens. So and maybe not extraterrestrials, or maybe it is extraterrestrials, but definitely alien to our understanding of science and the Earth.
So you're not going to be putting out any pictures of alien babies anytime soon, or are you? Is that part of the
disclosure? Okay, so I did receive a bunch of pictures of alien babies, but you know, with CGI these days, it's so hard to confirm or deny that they are actually pictures of aliens. It could just be from a movie, and I haven't seen every movie about aliens, so I'm not sure.
So
I'm erring on the side of caution here. I'm not going to be putting out a video unless it's 100%. 100%.
Well, here's the thing. I think nowadays that's going to limit, and that's okay. I mean, I don't think Alien Leaks, from talking to you privately, is going to be a site where people are going to be posting X-Files pictures and, you know, fake, you know, UFO landings. And don't get me wrong, I believe that there are UFO landings and there are pictures. But as you said, I think with today's technology, with CGI and computers, you know, it's going to be really difficult. You have to have, I think, a video, and then you have to have multiple witnesses, you know, or maybe multiple videos to collaborate. So that's actually going to be really hard. But what I was really impressed in talking with you is the quality, you know, of the documents that you want to post. It seems like these things are just pretty much bulletproof. But as I agree with you, I don't think they're all going to be that easy. I mean, if you're putting out a document, that one that was put out with the gateway process was actually quite complicated. It's very scientific, actually. And it's a scientific explanation, you know, remote viewing, out of body experience and all that stuff. And I know that some of the other documents you're talking about, you know, with propulsion, I mean, like, I hate to say it, but I think some people are going to have a physics degree to probably understand, you know, that kind of coming, maybe general concepts, but that's going to be a challenge, right? So if you're putting out all this interesting scientific information, is this for more for scientists or more for the layman, or what is this for? Who's this for?
Well, hopefully more scientists reach out with information on the research that they're doing. There's a lot of science research that is being suppressed. So, and maybe it's not like, you can't put that out or we're going to fire you. It's more like they would lose their reputation if they put some certain documents out. And because in the scientific community, it's always, they always go to the, it's never aliens as like their default answer to anything. So you have to have really a very, very strong amount of evidence if you want to make that claim. But there are some scientists that have made such claims, and they got pulled through the ringers. Like specifically, there was this one guy who claimed he saw fungus or mushrooms on Mars, and he went through and found all these pictures of growing mushrooms on Mars, and they discredited him to the max, and he didn't, it wasn't a good outcome for him, even though there probably are mushrooms on Mars.
So Backpack, I heard that you had done some research into mushrooms, actually had grown mushrooms. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. For a while I was working as I ran a research and development and cloning lab for a mushroom producer here in Japan.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big place. So you might have even eaten them at like a family restaurant, even up in Hokkaido.
Nice.
So, and it was something that I was looking for, an interesting job that's local that helped the community and the environment. And this business recycled a lot of materials. So I started working there, just growing mushrooms. But I had such an interest that I read all the books I can find and then started helping out in the lab. And eventually I was running it. It was really interesting. Mushrooms are exciting, and their reproduction habits and everything is so interesting. So it's a lot more fun going for walks now when you see a mushroom, you know?
Well, you know, growing up in New Jersey, you know, I had a stepfather, and he used to go out, and we had all in the woods, we had all these mushrooms, you know, and I was like the little scientist kid, and he'd go out and get these mushrooms, and they'd show me some that were poisonous and stuff like that. And when I realized that some were poisonous, I really got nervous as a kid eating mushrooms when my dad would pick mushrooms. I'd make sure he ate them, and then I'd wait a day or two to see if he was still alive before I had mine in my steak or whatever. Mushrooms are fascinating. They can kill you, and they can, I mean, people use them for hallucinogenics, and they're obviously a food. What about, and they probably use it for medical treatment. I think the Chinese use it for all kinds of herbal medicines and stuff like that. What do you think about the chance? I'm just curious, since you do know a lot about mushrooms, what do you think the chance of mushrooms growing on Mars? I mean, they have a lower pressure atmosphere, really no oxygen. I mean, do you think it's possible?
I think that I'm not sure about if all our data about Mars is accurate enough to figure that out yet. You know, they keep discovering new things, even on the moon, you know. So it's possible. I mean, if there's enough moisture, and I think there is there liquid water on Mars?
There's water on Mars. Yeah, they found water like near the polar ice caps, and there's moisture on Mars. It's not a lot, but there's areas of moisture. Yeah.
If there's liquid there, I would assume there could be, right? Why not?
Well, how do mushrooms grow? Like, I know that we're really off topic now, but do they need carbon like dioxide to grow?
How do they grow? They need oxygen and carbon dioxide, I think. It's been a long time, but the mix, yeah, you definitely need oxygen too, because you need airflow.
So guys, I want to move off mushrooms and talk a little bit about John Lear. Yeah. So John Lear, you know, who did the introduction, a lot of people may not notice, of Bob Lazar, who I have, who is on the Joe Rogan show, and you know, he has a movie out, who says that he worked at, I think it's S4 Groom Lake facility on UFOs, which were not really UFOs because they knew what they were. They were alien craft. And they had supposedly like 9 of them in a hangar. And he worked on one that he called the sport model. And I looked at like his discussions and stuff, and they're a little bit complicated, but as an electrical engineer, you know, I'm not a physicist. I understood a lot of what he was talking about, you know, and it made sense. So, but John Lear swears that he says stuff like, well, you know, America got some crashed UFOs, right? But they're not going to be really in working condition. That's kind of like the definition of crashed. Like if they were to fly, we wouldn't have been able to capture them intact. And the argument from John Lear was that he said that from his sources, and I hope I'm quoting him correctly because I respect John. I don't want to misquote him. But I think he and others had said that in order to get these alien spacecraft, they made a deal with these aliens. And what the aliens wanted was like bases, and that they wanted to be able to study human beings. And this had been going on for supposedly thousands of years, and they just wanted to continue it without us shooting radars from Los Alamos at them and starting like an alien human war or whatever. And the story was kind of scary if it's true. I mean, I'd like to believe that it's not true, but the story was that in exchange for these alien craft, which they didn't really give them any instruction manuals, they said, here's the craft. Good luck with figuring these things out. And we're just going to continue to abduct people. And we're going to give you a list of the people that we abduct, and you know, we'll send them back. We're really good at this brainwashing. We'll erase their memory and everything will be fine, you know. So, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but it kind of, if you think about it, if people are being abducted all over the world, you know, I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Hayes, have you ever heard, or it sounds like you studied this before?
Yeah, I heard the same thing, and I've been studying it for, you know, decades. And I think that gentleman, I was just trying to look him up, was one of the sources, but I definitely heard the stories about the government making a deal with him. And of course, like most entities, you know, humanoids, they break their promises and they go above and beyond the levels that they agree to, but they agree to it to a certain extent. And then at the same time, the governments and the Vatican have, you know, interest in keeping this, you know, secret from society for, you know, control reasons.
Well, I think it's more than control. I think everybody would shit their pants. It's like, what's the government going to, government's never going to go, if they really did a crazy deal like that.
But you know, they always use the excuse that but humanity can't take the reality of it, and they're going to freak out, and all the religious people will lose their minds. But the reality of the situation is, if there were nefarious beings out there, which I'm sure they are, there are many, and they wanted to do harm to humanity, it wouldn't take much. They wouldn't need approval.
Well, yeah, it's rumored that they shut off, more than rumored, these people working for the military said that these UFOs actually shut off nuclear missiles and turned them on and turned them off.
Absolutely. Which then proved that we actually will do whatever we want. But hey, if you want to kind of play ball, we will. But there, I've also, in my research, have come to understand that there's not just one race, but there's several races, and there's maybe a couple different deals, and then there's really nefarious extraterrestrials out there, and then there's others that are maybe a little bit more gullible and thought, hey, you know, you're a little bit more humanoid like us, opposed to being possibly reptilian or insect type or grays, which some people say that grays aren't these smart, you know, things that they're kind of used as well, apparently.
So, okay.
Yeah, but there's different deals out there. It's like dealing with different nations, different world leaders, You know, you can't expect everybody to be honest, and you're dealing with different realms of people. Well, so it's kind of like dealing with Africa and India and Pakistan and Iran. You know, you're not going to come to the table and always come to the same terms. And I think it's kind of a similar thing to where there's beings that are mean and there's ones that are kind of nice, but maybe some that are dumb and they're willing to give humans some, you know.
Well, hey, don't you
think that they won't use it against their own people?
Well, don't you think that our government, you know, is so well, you know, organized and so caring and so knowledgeable that they would only be dealing with the most spiritual and sophisticated and caring aliens, don't you think?
Absolutely not. No way.
So you think they're working with the dumbest, shittiest, crappiest aliens? Is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking the most gullible ones might have been wanting to play ball with humanity early on, and then realize, well, these guys are, you know, a little further back than we hoped.
Kind of like when America made deals with the Indians in New York for like Manhattan and stuff like that. Is that what
unfortunately
you think?
The Native Americans, and then they were branded as Indians because some dumbass thought that he was in India because he was lost, and then it stuck. But yeah, the Native Americans,
Mm-hmm.
Which they claim have only been here no longer than 30,000 years, but I'll argue with that one as well.
So
our continent was empty forever. Shut the hell up.
So the trinkets the trinkets were alien ships, and what they're doing is they're abducting people. This sounds unbelievable.
Well, there's known scientific studies that prove through geological studies and everything and so on and so forth, that the Earth has been here a hell of a lot longer, supposedly, than humans or hominids. Let's just say hominids. But who knows? I mean, stuff gets erased, stuff gets rewritten. Humans can't concept, you know, the concept of time is just, I think, is out of the grasp of most humanity. I'll just leave it at that.
Agreed.
It's just, I mean, you know, and as Graham Hancock says, humanity is a culture with amnesia. I mean, we've lost our way, and then we just make shit up, you know. You find the pyramid, the Great Pyramids, and you just make shit up, right? Whether, if you're religious, it was slaves that did it, you know. Oh, it was aliens. Oh, it's always aliens. Like, humans aren't smart enough, you know. It's just like, but what about the Sphinx? The Sphinx was there way longer. There's signs of water wear on there. And there hasn't been water, rain enough to erode something like the original the dugout part into the limestone where the Sphinx is. The outer parts of that and the older parts of the Sphinx, because they've been working on this for thousands of years, has water erosion, and there hasn't been rain enough to make water erosion for tens of thousands of years, mm-hmm. you know, and beyond the time where humans were capable of doing anything. And then we find things in other parts of the world where supposedly they're dated beyond, you know, they're dated back to where, you know, they tell us that the humans were just dumb cavemen, you know, hunter-gatherers. Yet we've got these monuments around the world and stones that seemingly were cut with laser or softened, you know, they're softened somehow and molded into pieces and sometimes huge blocks. And then where the joints are, where there's no mortar or anything, the joints are sometimes comical, little weird freaking cuts, you know, this giant stone, and then it connects to this other one with a 4-inch little weird oblong cut, you know, and it's like, it's almost like they just had fun and there's no effort put into it, but it's something that would be super difficult for us to do nowadays. And not only to do, but some of these locations are so high up. How the hell do they get that stuff even up there? And a lot of times, the stuff's quarried thousands of miles away.
Okay, so I think
unknown.
I think that there's plenty of evidence of some really strange stuff going on years ago on planet Earth that could be, you know, showing, you know, aliens have been here, like the chariots of the gods. They've been here for a long time.
What's crazy is why people want to bury it. Who and why is going to gain anything from burying that knowledge? Well, and it's crazy. And any culture that you dig deep into, they all look to the sky for their gods and their ancestors and their knowledge. And it's not a coincidence in my mind.
I don't think it is. So, Ron, I wanted to get a few more updates on your crazy world. So what is going on with the next loads of documents? Where is your mind these days on alien leaks? Because, boy, that, you know, the fact that your video got 500,000 views on that, you know, that picture view at the lake, you know, talking about alien leaks. And I think the earliest set of documents was really cool. What are we looking forward to the future? Some people complained. I think somebody at Daily Dot said, oh, this is all he's putting out. He didn't put out anything new. It's memory hold, blah, 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 blah. You know, how do you respond to the response to that first set of documents? What's upcoming for alien leaks?
Well, you know, the memory hold stuff is really important because it's the Streisand effect. Like, the government's going to go through and delete their memory hole of the stuff that they don't want to be out. So if it's already been released and then they go through the trouble of memory holing it, then that means that's the stuff we should be looking at more. And I've identified a few scientists and stuff and research that has been memory holed. And it's a bit more technical than like a scientifically technical than the first few documents I put out, but I'm going to be in this next release. I'm going to continue under the memory hole series, and it's going to be discussing basically like gravity. So like anti-gravity and like gravity shields and like even gravity based weapons.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, whoa. there's this one researcher who claims to have made like a gravity weapon, like some kind of gravity beam. It travels like in a nanosecond. Like, it can shoot a gravity beam that can go like a couple miles without any energy dissipation.
Holy shit.
And like destroy things the whole way without slowing down or anything.
Well,
and it travels at 64 times the speed of light. 64 times.
So does this guy have like a high school degree who wrote this information?
No, this is one of the like top physics researchers in the world. And but his stuff is memory holds. Like you can barely find it online. And
sure.
But like his stuff is peer reviewed and he like gets into journals, and sometimes he's like threatened and or whatnot, and he has to like retract from the journals, but his stuff is peer reviewed. And I mean, I'm not an astrophysicist or a theoretical physicist, but I can look through and like kind of see kind of what he's talking about. And it's not just this one guy, there's many people. And then even the US government is talking about it. And the stuff they talk about, like they actually go back and like delete what they've said about him. And so they're trying to memory hold this guy, but he's building stuff that's like otherworldly, that huge implications for the human race, and they're not giving him the time of day, which is really unfortunate.
Wow. So basically, if the United States government has this technology, they're gonna start blasting us with these gravity pulses, and my house is gonna fall down. Is that what you're telling me, Ron?
Well, theoretically, I mean, it could. And something that interested me is that this guy said he built this thing and he doesn't know how it works. He just know that it does work. But I'm gonna be releasing these documents from him. And like U.S. government documents that like back him.
I think this is going to be so cool. But so like
give him,
next week,
and he's still alive, and he's yeah, he's still making new stuff. No, I think this podcast should be out about the same time as the documents go out. So in a few days, maybe tomorrow or the next day.
Well, I look forward to helping you on some of this, Ron, reviewing.
Well, I know you know a bit about physics, so maybe you could help me look through these documents. Yeah. And
I did read, I don't know if it's connected, but I did read about a U.S. government anti-gravity fleet that they claimed is operational today. It's been in the works for over 35 years.
Oh, I believe it, yeah.
I saw by, was it Dr. Pace? He's formerly he's at the U.S. Navy Strategic.
Oh, yeah, that guy, Pace.
Pace, yeah.
Salvador Pace, I think.
That's right. His information is it similar to that? But
so what that is, from what I understand, is the government or U.S. government is trying to patent this stuff.
Mm.
So, but without giving away too much of how it's done.
I see.
It's like the bare minimum they can do to get a patent out on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, let's get real. If you can block gravity, like gravity shielding, which I think I know the article you're talking about, gravity shielding, you can like, and nothing stops it. You could literally point it at a satellite, a military satellite, and then its orbit would change. And, you know, it could fly to the sun or it could crash to the earth or whatever. This has a lot of military, you know, implications, and like this other, the weapon that you talked about is even in some ways even more scary. But, you know, it's kind of like, I mentioned this earlier, it's like giving 6-year-old kids like laser guns. You put them in the park, and then next thing what's going to happen is there's only one kid left. He's basically blown everybody else up, and he's holding the laser gun. Like, hey, what happened, Junior? Oh, I was playing the war, and I just decided to zap everybody and can't figure out how to bring him back. Well, yeah, because you killed him. You vaporized him, you know? So, you know, what's humanity going to do with this? I mean, like, holy smokes, do we trust the United States government or any government to have these kind of weapons and technology? I mean, do we?
I got interested in the technology because some of it, like, did you guys hear the interview with a man named General Quast with Candace Owens? It was last year in February. He's currently, what is he? He's currently the commander, Air Education and Training Command in, for the Air Force.
No, did he quit, that guy? Is he still there?
He's still there. And he said on the interview that we have technology right now that can eliminate world hunger, pollution, and give clean water and energy to everyone on Earth. And he said that during the interview. He's still there, you know. So some of the technology that, you know, my main interest was, if we could get this out, it could help so many people.
Well, he's probably talking about zero point energy, and a lot of people have talked about that. And I'm going to discuss that probably on an Alien Agenda video soon. Some of that. It's a really sad state of affairs. But go ahead, Hayes. I think I cut you off.
No. You didn't cut me off at all. But they don't want the zero point or any other type of things like that available to everybody, because the powers that be are the few. The few control the millions. So they don't want that out there because it's not beneficial to them any more than a cure for cancer.
Hayes, I'm in agreement with you, my friend. I think we're going to have to move on. Our time is running out, and we're a little bit tight on time today. Some folks have some tight schedules. So, Hayes, I want to thank you. You know, for joining the show. And I also want to thank Backpack. It was very cool to have you as our special guest today. The conversation, you know, your background on technologies and these different systems. I look forward to reading up on your Twitter account and any other information that you're posting, Ron and team. I think this was a great show. It's a little shorter than our other shows, but I think it's a great show, and I want to thank everyone. Thanks for joining this episode of Alien Agenda.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks. It's
been lost so many days. I got to start my journey. I've got to find my way. As I travel through the madness, I stumble upon my way down the road that's been less traveled. It's harder, harder, harder than the road that's paved. Tangled once again.